most controversial tweet around 10 p.m. on Friday night as the hurricane was coming in. The president decided to make his first pardon. That's Sheriff Joe Arpaio out of Arizona, drawing a lot of criticism.
Yeah, this tweet came right as the storm was barreling at Texas, George, on Friday.
This week on Vox Talks, how politicians bury bad news. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. In 2017, one day before Hurricane Harvey struck Texas, President Trump issued a ban against transgender soldiers in the military and pardoned a controversial political ally. A year later, as the 2018 World Cup opening ceremony began in Moscow, the Russian government announced a rise in the retirement age and an increase in value-added tax. Coincidence? Probably not, according to new research by Milena Juralova and Ruben Durante of Università Pompeu Fabra. Milena is a PhD student there, and Ruben is a CREO research professor. It shows that for decades our politicians have been strategically planning to announce bad news when we're distracted by other events. Ruben joins me today to talk about the politics of distraction. Ruben, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Dean.
A few weeks ago, I was speaking to Sergei Guriev at Sciences Po about how trust in politicians, it's fallen in the last few years. But looking at your research, can we argue that the cynical behavior that we're aware of today has been going on for decades?
Yeah, we try to understand this general issue of whether there is some kind of strategic timing by politicians. We focus on one specific political office, kind of the highest that you can think of, the President of the United States. And the basic question we ask is, do politicians time unpopular measures strategically to time when public opinion is distracted by something else? I mean, this is something that doesn't only apply to politicians. We find same evidence in another paper about strategic timing in attacks by the Israeli army. There is evidence that corporations do this, even NGOs. There is other evidence on this. I think it's something completely normal, right? Even if you think of the behavior of small children, right? They're probably going to do something naughty. They're going to do it when parents are not watching. So again, it's not something particularly surprising, but it's interesting to, you know, look at the data and try to understand whether we find evidence on this.
So to find out if politicians, like small children, are burying bad news, you picked executive orders that are issued by US presidents. For people who don't know what executive orders are, can you explain what their function is and why you chose them?
Sure. Executive orders is it's a peculiarity of the Constitution of the United States that allows the president to essentially pass a law without approval by Congress. An executive order is exactly the same value as a law, so it becomes executive right away, but it doesn't pass through Congress. Mm. This is supposed to be a guidance tool to which the president can guide policy in such a way that the laws are correctly implemented. But there's been a broad interpretation of this. So basically, it's been extensively used by a lot of presidents to also implement policies that go against Congress, especially when Congress is controlled by the other party. As a president, I can pass an executive order on pretty much any topic, pretty much any time that I want, and the content is completely my discretion. Of course, there is political costs of doing this, a cost in terms of my political support, my popularity with the public. And so for our purpose, this is a very good context because, first of all, I have complete discretion both on the content and, most important, on the timing of the executive order. But also, I may have an incentive to time it in some strategic fashion because I want to minimize the political cost that is associated with it.
And so to work out whether or not people are distracted when these executive orders are announced, you have to be able to measure how much attention they get in the news. How can you do that? That seems very subjective.
We use the simple intuition of the crowding out, which is basically when there is a lot of interesting, important stories going on at the same time, people get distracted by those stories and may not necessarily pay attention on that day to what the president is doing. So the idea, which is not very original, it's been already used in the literature on media, is really to try to understand what other interesting, important, newsworthy events are going on at the same time and use that in some way as a proxy for how the public can be distracted by those stories from looking at what, in this case, the president is doing.
Not all executive orders are unpopular. Some of them are passed just because voters particularly like them, but Congress was standing in the way. So if we're going to assume that the intention is to bury bad news, then only unpopular executive orders would be timed for those busy news days.
It is important to understand that, president passed thousands of executive orders.
Mm.
You must think of executive order as affecting any area of policy.
Mm.
Most of these executive orders are incredibly boring things, okay? Like setting the president is deciding whatever the vacation time of a federal agency, or is appointing the deputy director of this specific agency. You know, many others are very important, setting tariffs and declaring war. Not only the importance matters, but also how controversial they can be, right?
Yeah.
But let's say that over the past 6 months, the president has been having a lot of clashes with Congress on whatever, say, Homeland Security. Then passing an executive order that goes against Congress on that specific topic can be quite controversial, and so can generate the kind of controversy that they want to avoid by timing it at the time when people are distracted. We look at the general effect on all executive orders, pulling together, again, the most interesting ones and the less interesting ones. We try to understand what executive orders are primarily displaying this strategic timing, but also what kind of use the president is targeting to distract people.
Yes.
That also can tell us a lot about whether there is indeed a intentional strategic timing. You know, this strategic timing that we observe in the data, or this correlation, if you want, that you observe in the data, is actually due to intentional behavior, intentional strategy, PR strategy by the president, or maybe it's just something else.
And retrospectively, you have to look back at the news and distinguish the news that could have been anticipated when these executive orders were scheduled from the news that just pops up on the day and dominates the news agenda, but no one could have anticipated it.
Exactly. This is very important. We need to identify, first of all, when we talk about the distracting news, we need to identify the news that cannot be in any way related to the executive order or the content, right? We really want to identify news that are completely unrelated, but they can to some extent be predicted, because those would be the ideal ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way we do it is basically we take, for every executive order, we have the content, the exact text of all the executive order. First of all, we want to capture what is the news coverage of the executive order, if it gets covered or not, and how this crowding out hypothesis actually plays out in the data. So we have to identify every news story that is related to the executive order, and we do basically this through identifying keywords for each executive order, either through machine learning process or through having a research assistant coding this. And then we identify all the news that contain those executive orders. For example, if I'm talking about the executive order of the Muslim ban by Donald Trump, that's going to be immigration, Muslim, homeland security, and travel, and words like that. So we identify all the news related with the executive orders. This is the first part. Then we measure other news that are going on at the same time. And we take this metric. It's called the news pressure. It was constructed by other researchers before us. You calculate the time devoted to the top three news in each of the top American broadcast TV networks. If the top three news are related with the executive order, they take 15 minutes out of the 30 minutes of the total newscast.
Mm-hmm.
That means that those three news are really monopolizing the time in that day. So there is less time left for everything else, including executive order.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger the news pressure, the longer the time devoted to those top three stories. So the less time there will be for anything else. Take a day when the Columbine shooting occurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, from a strategic timing point of view, is not a good example. Completely unexpected, right?
Yeah.
Every TV broadcast will talk about the Columbine shooting for 20 minutes out of the 30 minutes that the newscast is made of. So there will be a lot less room for anything else, including what the president is doing. Take another day when nothing very newsworthy is happening. So the first three story would be on politics, 2 minutes each, 6 minutes would be the news pressure. You have 24 minutes devoted to everything else. So that would be a low news pressure day. On high news pressure day, people are going to be focusing on other news. There is more room to put the things that you don't want people to see under the rug.
Taking this all together in your research, on those days when people are distracted by other events that could have been foreseen and the executive order is bad news, then you find evidence that there is strategic timing.
Yeah, we look at what is the likelihood that an executive order or multiple executive orders are signed on a given day. And we relate this to this news pressure measure. And we find that on days when, again, there is more of this newsworthy event going on, executive orders are more likely to be signed. And in particular, as we were saying, we focus on executive orders that are likely to make the news ex ante, and they are likely to generate controversy. And also for the news story, which I think is very important, we distinguish between news that to some extent can be anticipated and news that cannot be anticipated.
Mm.
We identify news that are more associated with surprise and more associated with anticipation, based again on the words they are used. And we actually show that all of our effects is driven by news associated with anticipation, but not with surprise. Both of these news are correlated with the news pressure because they do make the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
But only the ones that are anticipated show an effect on the timing of executive order. Important news that cannot be anticipated are not driving this result.
And you track this over several decades. It's been working pretty well, obviously, for years now. But we're becoming more cynical about how politicians behave, and we're calling it out more. I noticed when I look back at the Hurricane Harvey coverage, there were a couple of the newscasts that did mention the strategic timing of President Trump's announcement. So do we have any evidence that this is working just as well as it ever did?
You may want to look at, first of all, whether indeed when an executive order coincides with other news, is it less likely itself to make the news? And also, how is this affecting the president's popularity? So we have some analysis on this in the data. We show that indeed the length of the news devoted to executive order goes down if it coincides with newsworthy events, with other mm-hmm. newsworthy events. So it seems to be working in terms of you're going to get less coverage for a given action. We also have evidence that when it does cover, the popularity of the president goes down.
Mm-hmm.
When people hear that the president is going against Congress, that usually has a popularity cost. That said, it is not really clear in our data whether over time this relationship is changing. I think it's very recent, this fact that the media point out the strategic timing thing. Most of the time, it's quite easy for politicians to get away with it. In some way, the gain that you get in terms of a smaller coverage of your unpopular action is bigger than any risk that people may see your gain.
Mm.
But in general, we don't have a ton of evidence of that. But we do find that this strategic timing goes on for the four decades we're looking at. Not much difference between Democrats and Republicans, between different presidents. And if you read the literature on, spin doctors and PR in Washington, it's something that is quite normal for any spin doctor to try to bury bad news for their presidents, right? Independent of who the president is.
Yes, because I was going to ask about that, because we all know who does it the most, and that's the politician that we don't agree with. But as far as you're saying, it's normal political behavior, and it is legal. Is there any way in which this could be stopped or reduced if we wanted to?
As researchers, I think it's important to point out this kind of behavior, which again may not be obvious to the ordinary citizen. You show that even in places where the media work well, they're independent and relatively well-functioning, the strategic behavior of politicians can hurt accountability in some way. If you don't know what the president is doing, just because of how the news cycle works, right? And because people have limited attention.
Yeah.
So even in a good context where the media work and they're relatively independent and well-functioning, you can still have this lack of information and hence lack of political accountability. So the idea is really the media should be careful in moments when other news are going on to monitor and make sure that, the politician is still kept in check and people are informed about what he's doing. So maybe you can have a column on the newspaper. These are news that you may have missed because you were focusing on something else. Like, be aware that your president or your government has done this, this, and that. Just, increase visibility on issues and topics that naturally may have gone under the rug.
Ruben, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for your interest in our work.
It's a reminder to all of us that when there's a lot going on in the world, as Ruben says, don't get distracted from what politicians are doing. And as a journalist myself, it's a wake-up call to me and all of my colleagues on how effectively the news is managed by the people we are tasked with holding to account. Now, if you want more detail on this method, the paper's called Media Attention and Strategic Timing in Politics, Evidence from US Presidential Executive Orders, and its CEPR discussion paper 13961. And Milena and Ruben have also written an article for VoxEU on the topic, and that's called The Politics of Distraction, Evidence from Presidential Executive Orders. And also, if you haven't listened to our Vox talk with Sergey Guriev that I mentioned at the beginning, it's called How the Mobile Internet Changed Politics, and it's all part of the Vox debate on populism, which is also well worth a look if you're interested in these things. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. In 2020, we will once again be here every Friday with the best new research in economics. So however you get your podcasts, subscribe and you won't miss an episode. But also, if you do, you can always find the archive of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.